Open once again in your Bibles to Romans 12. We're going to be reading verses 10 to 13. It's Romans 12, please. Hear now the word of God. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. May God bless the reading of His Word.
You may be seated.
Please oblige me, and let's look to the Lord one more time. Blessed Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray this morning that You would be pleased, Father, with the words that are to be shared. That, Father, You would use this worthless vessel to honor and glorify Yourself, and Lord, that You would teach us what You desire for us to know this morning. And Father, that we would know how to apply it to our lives, that we might better serve You, better honor You, better love You, better walk in Your way. And as we later on leave these doors, that we would utilize all that You will teach us, that we will be that much more of a servant for You, a slave to You, a slave to righteousness. Father, we pray this all in Your Son's precious name. Amen. Well, this morning, as you have already heard in your reading, we will be talking a little bit about Romans 12, 10 through 13. Have you ever had something that you wanted to accomplish, and in the midst of doing so, you wondered if you would actually be able to accomplish the particular task that you're in? Perhaps it was more arduous than you thought it was going to be. What was your driving factor? What caused you to be able to accomplish it ultimately? Or what caused you to be defeated? When we have something tough to accomplish, there is always a driving factor. There is always something which determines whether or not we will accomplish this particular task or job. And there's always something that will motivate us in one way or another. I remember quite a number of years ago, when I was in far better shape than I am today, a bunch of us guys, we were determined to go on a backpacking trip in the Adirondack Mountains. It was about 8 to 10 days that we planned on doing this trip, and we were really jazzed up about this. I mean, this was something we really loved to do. I mean, really loved to do. And we were planning and pulling it together, and we realized, of course, that this would mean that we had to lug all the stuff on our backs. Now, we were somewhat experienced backpackers, but 10 to 8 days in the Adirondack was probably a first at this time for us. And so we just went on with these plans and pulled it all together. And we even determined that on top of that, we were going to bring up some young men from the church. And this was going to be a boot camp of sorts to break them into not only the love of camping, but we were going to minister to them as well. So we get these men together, and we get our packs together, which the packs, by the way, were like 50, 60 pounds each. And we realized that we had quite an adventure on our hands, and probably more than we realized we were biting off. But as we set out on this journey with these heavy packs and realizing that we had these young men to set examples for, we were actually quite stoked about it. Well, I remember this particular mountain trail that we ended up having to scale during this hike we were on, and it was rather high and had a number of switchbacks. Now, switchbacks, mind you, they're tight turns as you go up a high of elevation, and it makes it easier to scale, but it makes the trail a whole lot longer. And I remember being so determined to make it up that trail, but I was wiped out. This was only after the second day, but I was wiped out, and I remember how hot it was, and I was perspiring quite heavily and wondering, quite frankly, was I even going to be able to make it up this trail? I had to ask myself, why was I doing this? You know, but there were two particularly strong driving factors for me to get up that mountain. And the first one was that I was setting an example for these young men, an older guy, younger men. But I had decided that, you know, with the other men, that we were going to lead these men, these young men. So I was an example. So I had to get up the mountain for that reason. The other reason was because once I got up that mountain, I could finally drop the heavy pack off my back. So these factors were ultimately what drove me up that mountain, and yes, I did make it. I was not the first one to the top, but I wasn't lazy about getting there either. And I made it up the mountain. Believe me, it was a pleasure to drop the pack. So what does this have to do with the verses that we read just a little bit earlier? What does it have to do with serving God or serving the Lord? Well, let me unwrap this verse a little bit. And I'm going to only go to one avenue of this verse. There's a lot in this verse. I'm going to take one avenue on this verse. Paul wrote in the beginning of that verse, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. First off, he was telling the brethren not to be lazy people. Don't be people who lack in effort or lack in care. Don't think only of yourselves. In other words, Paul was telling them not to be sluggards. Now, think about that word sluggard, and you'll remember a particular proverb. Proverbs 6, 6 through 9. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief officer or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in harvest. Don't be a sluggard. He was telling them, Paul was telling them, to be driven within their spirit to be fervent. Not to be lazy. And that's what we see when we read this proverb about this hard-working ant. He was motivated, driven, and he made a difference. Also remember the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, 14 through 30. There were three slaves, and the master had given them a particular task. He gave one slave 5 talents. He gave another slave 2 talents. And he gave the last slave 1 talent. And he went off on his trip. And he expected them to take these talents and to do something with them, to bring back more than they started with, to invest them, so to say, to make positive return on the talents he had given them. And as the proverb goes on, we find that the master arrives back home and he asks the slaves, "What did you do with my talents?" Well, the slave that had five, he had gone out and he immediately got five more. He wisely invested those talents and brought back for his master five more talents. He was very profitable for his master. The slave who was given two, he went out and he gained two more. He also gained a profit for his master. They were diligent in how they took these talents and increased them. Well, what about the slave that was given only one? Well, if you remember, he accomplished nothing for his master. He went and dug a hole and buried it. Did he make a difference? What was his driving factor? What motivated him? Well, of course he didn't make a difference, and it was because his driving factor was fear. And for that matter, it was also self-concern. His motivations were self-serving. His inspiration was self-preservation. He wasn't thinking of his master. He wasn't thinking of the job he was given. He was not thinking of making any kind of valuable input or investing that one talent. He was thinking of hiding it so nothing would happen with it, so that when he went back to his master, he would at least have that talent. But that did nothing. It accomplished nothing. And we know that his master was not happy about this at all. In doing this, the master recognized that this slave was looking out for number one and not for the master's best interest. He, in fact, had told his master, "I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and I went away and hid your talent in the ground." Well, what did the master have to say about that? "You wicked, lazy slave." What was the driving factor for the other two slaves? Think about that. What motivated them? Well, I would have to say to you, they were faithful to their master. They loyally obeyed him. They feared and revered him. And they wanted to please him. They were given a job to do. They took the job serious, and they went and they invested wisely. Whatever that talent was, whether it was money, ability, whatever it was, they invested it and they came back with more. Their concern was for their master's well-being and for accomplishing what the master had given them to do. They were motivated to serve their master and not themselves. And what they did for their master was to definitely please their master and give more than they had received. And what did their master tell them? "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Wow, what a great thing to hear from your master. In Romans, Paul is encouraging the brethren to serve with diligence. Serve with diligence. The word diligence comes from the Latin word diligere. I'm not sure I pronounced that quite right, but what's more important is what that means. That word means to love, to take delight, to respect, and to esteem. Diligence means to love, to take delight, to respect, and to esteem. And Paul is encouraging them to serve with diligence. These brethren were told that they should have a love for their work, the work that they were called to do, and delight in doing it. They could only do this if they respected and esteemed their job. And by respecting and esteeming their job, they respected and esteemed the one who had given them the job to do. Paul also encouraged the brethren to be fervent in spirit. Now, fervent has some meaning to it, too, that's important that we look at. Fervent means to be passionate, to be intense, heartfelt. Literally, it means hot, burning, or glowing. Or some have actually put it to mean boiling. They should have such a spirit that it glowed within them, it burned within them, it boiled within them. Those are very descriptive, very strong words. This burning spirit would keep them going. It would drive them and motivate them. Well, the question comes up, what would cause this glowing and burning and boiling of spirit? Do you recall the men on the road to Emmaus? Wonderful story. Not story, it's history. It's very inspiring. Remember that one said to the other, were not our hearts burning within us? Burning, boiling. Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road? While he was explaining the scriptures to us? Were not our hearts burning within us? They communed with their friend, their Lord, their Savior, even though at the time they didn't even know it. But their hearts burned within them. This caused burning was because of the Lord's word. It was because of their love that they had for their Lord and his word. And he was communing with them as he walked the road of Emmaus with them. He was unfolding the word for them. Paul also tells us in this verse, by telling the brethren, he says, serve the Lord. Serve also has some interesting meaning. The word serve here actually means to be enslaved. To be enslaved to your Lord. Serve your Lord. Romans 6:17 through 18 reads like this. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed, and having been freed from sin, you became slaves to righteousness. Slaves to righteousness. And what does the Bible also tell us about righteousness? That we need to hunger and thirst for righteousness. We need to burn within our hearts for righteousness. Knowing this, knowing the fact of this being slaves to righteousness, the people that Paul was speaking to, they could serve the Lord with great joy in their hearts. So what would be their motivating and driving factor to serve? What caused them to become jazzed, so to say, about serving the Lord? Well, it was the hope within them. The hope of their salvation. They were no longer slaves to sin, But now they were slaves to righteousness. They were no longer bound for hell, but bound for heaven. They had eternal life to look forward to because of their Lord and their Savior, Jesus Christ. They were also reminded that whatever they suffered here on the earth for the Lord's sake would not be in vain. That they would be able to persevere. It said in the verse, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation. When Paul tells them this, it's presumed that they understand what that hope is. It is presumed that they understand what the perseverance is, and they've probably already faced some of it. Rejoicing in hope, persevering through tribulation. They were reminded also of the privilege that they had to be able to pray and to be heard. Because the verse goes on to say, to be devoted to prayer. Paul would not have told them to pray if Paul did not know that prayer worked. That prayer was a means to communicate to God. And that God heard those prayers and he answered them in the manner that was best for them and brought glory to him. Furthermore, they were reminded also, as Paul spoke and wrote this, that they should contribute to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality, being devoted one to another in brotherly love. They had so much that they could look forward to, so much burning within their hearts, so much joy because of the salvation that they had to look forward to. They were not concerned or should not be concerned about their own petty problems. God would provide. God would see them through the tribulation and cause them to persevere. God would take care of them and he would hear their prayers and answer their prayers. So if that's the case, take care of your brother, take care of your sister, perhaps the one that is weaker than you. That's what Paul was saying. Also, we can understand here that they were to love just as the Lord loved them. This love wasn't a love of their own creation. It was a love that was manifest because of the love that Jesus had for them. Jesus said this in John 13:34-35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. He doesn't stop there, though. He says, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Our example is his love. The example for his people is his love, not our human, petty, meaningless love. His love, his real love. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. This love that was to be shared among the brethren would not only stop there. Yes, it would strengthen the brethren. Yes, it would encourage the brethren. Yes, it would bring the brethren tighter together. But as those who saw these brethren being brought tighter together, loving one another, so would those on the outside see this, and it would bring glory to God. Well, this brings further questions. Questions for us. This verse was written to the believers and the brethren at the time, but it is also meant for us to understand. So we're asked this, what are our driving factors? What drives us? What motivates us? Are you driven to serve the Lord? Or do you find that at times you're like a sluggard, a bit lazy? Are you defeated or lagging behind? Remember the ant. How many talents were you given? And what will you do with them? Do not forget the slaves who were given 5, 2, and 1. Remember how the slave who was given 5 did not bury those 5, but increased those 5 for his master. Remember the slave that was given 2. He did not bury those talents and do nothing with them, but increase them for his master. And then remember how the master reacted to the one who did nothing with that talent. So I ask you, as I ask myself, what talents have you gotten? How has God blessed you? And what will you do with them? Are you diligent in your service for the Lord? Is your heart burning and boiling for the Lord? Is your spirit such that you can't sit still because of the hope that is within you? Love takes delight, respect, and esteem to work for our Lord, for all that he has given us. Remember the men on the road to Emmaus when they realized who was talking to them and they said, did not our hearts burn? All that they had, all that they were given is available to us, and we have it as well. We have within us the Holy Spirit. We have available to us the Word of God. We can talk with our Lord on a regular basis. Nothing hinders that except for ourselves. We have no excuse. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve one another. Love one another as he has loved you. One of the best ways to be a witness to those around is that outpouring of love. We read earlier Psalm 100. Shout joyfully to the world, to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. We can do that because we have a hope of our salvation. We have that burning within our hearts. We have the Holy Spirit, which gives us the inspiration, the strength. We can lean on him, our paraclete. Come before him with joyful singing as we gather each Lord's Day to lift our voices and praise him together. As we tabernacle together, he's here in the midst of us. But you know what? Lifting up those praises and those songs of praise do not only have to happen here. They can happen outside these doors as well. Know that the Lord is God. This knowing is not just an intellectual knowing. It's an experiential knowing. How does that outwork in our lives? Knowing that this God, this awesome God, has loved us so much that he sent his Son to die for us on the cross, that we could have eternal life. How is that outworked in our lives? It is he who has made us and not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. How do we give thanks to him? Not just verbally with our words, not just with our offerings, but with the use of our talents and our abilities. With the love we have one for another, with the love we even have for the stranger? How are we outreaching to them? Bless His name. His name is His character. His name is who He is. All that is about Him. Bless it, and we bless it through our living of our lives as well. We are the image bearer. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generation. And now, to the one who does not believe, or perhaps the one who refuses to commit, or the one with a hard heart toward the Lord. You are still a slave to sin because of your disobedient heart. You are bound for hell. There's no other way of putting it. I call on you to repent. Repent even today and come into the joy of serving the Lord. You too will have the hope of your salvation. Think about these things as we go on our way. I pray that these things will have motivated you, encouraged you, strengthened you, made you to really dig deep. May the Lord bless these words to your hearts. And now the benediction. Please rise. Finally, brethren, rejoice. Be made complete. Be comforted. Be like-minded. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.